From Ground Zero Radio, this is Democracy Now in Exile.
People of Afghanistan are terrorized for more than two decades. Half of the population in Afghanistan are paralyzed in the society.
A member of the Revolutionary Association of Women of Afghanistan describes the terror of the Taliban, yet opposes war. Then we'll take a look at two Central Asian nations, Uzbekistan, which the United States is courting despite its record of gross human rights abuses, and Tajikistan, a major transshipment point for the world's heroin. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now! In Exile's War and Peace Report, broadcasting just blocks from Ground Zero. I'm Amy Goodman. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld today visits four of the key states whose support is seen as vital: Saudi Arabia, Oman, Egypt, and Uzbekistan. It'll be the first time he's met the leaders of Uzbekistan, which borders Afghanistan. The Pentagon says more than 30,000 troops are now in the Persian Gulf. The aircraft carrier USS Kitty Hawk is nearing the region and would be the fourth carrier to be within striking distance of Afghanistan. The ruling Taliban militia has begun fortifying its lines around Kabul in preparation for a military attack, recovering from an early period of disarray. This according to defectors emerging from the embattled capital city and opposition spies. Taliban troops in recent days have built two lines of defense north of Kabul, digging trenches and bomb shelters while replenishing their forces by apprehending young men and sending them to the front lines north of the capital. Some recruits who refused to join up were shot, a defector reported, and the Taliban has begun rotating troops to and from the front every 3 or 4 days to guard against desertions. But while ordinary residents are still leaving the city, some government ministers have returned and some stores have reopened. The Taliban evidently has decided to make a concerted effort to prevent Northern Alliance rebels from overrunning the capital as part of the U.S. assault. President Bush said yesterday he would push for an economic stimulus plan as large as $75 billion, upping the ante for fast-moving legislation that's attracted every lobbyist's wish list. The package would be on top of $40 billion already committed to areas harmed by the terrorist attacks and $15 billion to aid the airlines. While the plan, if enacted, would likely push the budget into deficit, Bush emerged from a meeting in New York with about 30 business executives saying it's essential to invigorate the economy. Israel's Security Cabinet has given the army a green light to resume an internationally condemned policy of hunting and assassinating Palestinians. This according to Israeli diplomatic sources. They said the decision was taken at a cabinet meeting Wednesday after Palestinian militants infiltrated the Jewish settlement of Al Sinai in the Gaza Strip, killing two Israelis. Israel has hunted and killed some 60 Palestinians, it said, planned and carried out attacks against Israelis since the start last year of a Palestinian uprising against Israeli occupation. Israeli army forces raided a Palestinian-ruled area of Gaza early yesterday, killing six Palestinians. Senior Israeli security officials said the army, which demolished Palestinian police posts and razed agricultural lands, would remain in the Palestinian area for an unlimited time. Meanwhile, the Israeli group Peace Now is reporting that 10 new Jewish settlements were built in the West Bank between June and September. The report's based on a comparison of aerial photographs of Palestinian territory taken at the end of May and September. The settlements are a major cause of anger among Palestinians who launched an uprising in September of 2000, in part to force an end to the settlements and the military occupation of Palestinian land. And Secretary of State Colin Powell, appearing with the Greek foreign minister, confirmed yesterday that the Bush administration wants to press ahead with its plans to back the creation of a Palestinian state. He said such a policy had been part of administration's thinking for some time, as it had been of previous administrations. Two Iraqis were killed and a third was wounded yesterday in a U.S.-British air raid on Basra in southern Iraq. the spokesperson of the Iraqi military, quoted by the INA news agency, said U.S. and British warplanes bombed civilian and public installations in Basra, killing Riad Nahi and Murtada Abdul Amir and wounding a third man, Amjad Rahim. This news from South Africa. The chief whip in Parliament for the governing African National Congress was arrested on corruption and fraud charges in connection with his cut-rate purchase of a Mercedes-Benz sports utility vehicle from a defense contractor seeking a piece of a multi-billion dollar arms deal. The deal is the subject of a sweeping government investigation. Daimler Chrysler Aerospace South Africa, now part of the European Aeronautic Defense and Space Company, says it sold 30 vehicles at discount prices to key government officials. And Turkey's parliament passed a sweeping series of constitutional amendments yesterday that would limit the death penalty and allow Kurdish broadcasts, moves aimed at bolstering the country's drive to join the European Union. Although the amendments are a major step, many analysts were skeptical the amended constitution would lead to dramatic changes. For example, Kurds would no longer be barred from broadcasting in Kurdish, but the authorities could still ban Kurdish broadcasts for reasons of national security and public safety.
Peace, salam, shalom. 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 Peace, salam, shalom.
Folk singer and activist Pat Humphreys and an ad hoc group of singers singing Peace, Salam, Shalom. You wrote this piece?
Yeah. Sandy Opatow and I wrote it.
Sandy Opatow and Pat Humphreys. Well, I want to thank you for coming in live here to join us on the War and Peace Report Resistance Radio. And folks, as you know, if you've been listening on a regular basis, we've been joined by musicians live in our Firehouse studio sometimes as much as every day, and we thank them very much for joining us. They'll be regaling us in this hour. Thank you so much. Even as the U.S. prepares for a military campaign in Afghanistan, Bush has offered $320 million in humanitarian aid to the ravaged country, where a brutal winter has already begun and food and medicine are desperately needed. Bush has pledged that $100 million of the aid is to go to thousands of Afghan refugees who are fleeing to the neighboring countries of Pakistan, Iran, and Uzbekistan. Those hit hardest by the harsh regime and poverty of Afghanistan are millions of women, widowed after years of fighting, who are living near starvation and under virtual house arrest under their Taliban rulers. RAWA, the Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan, has been fighting for women's rights and for a secular government for over 20 years. It was established well before the Taliban came to power. Even in the suffocating political atmosphere of the 70s in Afghanistan, the women of RAWA became involved in improving education, health care, and political agitation. Before the 1978 Moscow-directed coup in Afghanistan, RAWA's work centered on women's rights and democracy. But after the Soviet occupation in December 79, RAWA became directly involved in the war of resistance. RAWA always set itself up in opposition to the vaunted Islamic fundamentalist freedom fighters of the anti-Soviet war of resistance supported by the U.S. government. We're joined now by Tamina Saryal, who is a member of RAWA, the Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan, who's just come in from Pakistan to the United States. We welcome you to the War and Peace Report, Tamina.
Thank you.
It's good to have you with us. We heard at the top of the program a comment that you made about the situation for women in Afghanistan. Can you describe it today?
Women in Afghanistan, in fact, have been practicing the restrictions under the name of Islam since the fundamentalist groups took the power in Afghanistan in 1992. Although, like Taliban, they did not officially announce the list of restrictions, but because of the fact that they committed many crimes against women, there were many cases of rape, of forced marriages, of women's abduction, besides the fact that the different parties always fought against each other in order to take the power. And of course, the victims were the ordinary innocent people of Afghanistan.
in Kabul, in Kabul.